Thank you, Terry, for the music. Music plays such an important part. And thanks to all the readers who read the scriptures, gave us a kind of a picture of what was going on with Jesus and what happened to him. You know, this is, of course, Good Friday. This is the day that represents Jesus of Nazareth coming to Jerusalem, being arrested, tried, and convicted for something he did not do. He was arrested, tried, and convicted for what you and I did, for what every single human being has done. And then he was crucified. You know, many consider it one of the great tragedies of all history that the sinless Son of God could be killed by his own people, the very sinless Son of God, that the light of righteousness and truth that had come into the world was killed by the darkness of sin and evil. And they look at it as a kind of a tragic event. But I think if we did think that way, we would be wrong, because that's not what this is about. Rather than being a tragedy, this is actually the greatest triumph of all time. One of the greatest triumphs that has ever taken place in the history of man. Because God came down this earth into his own creation to set that creation back on a path of righteousness and back on a path that only he could do. Because he wanted us to come back into a relationship with him. You know, sin and guilt and death spread itself around the world. It's all a part of what we are as humanity. Guilt, sin, deceit, the whole problem of sin. We've all come short of the glory of God, as the book of Romans says. We've all fallen short of who God is and what God is. The end result is a world in confusion and living the consequences of their own actions with nothing to take that consequence away, nothing to get rid of it. You know, God in the persons of Jesus came to intervene in that. He came to stop it. He came to change it because he wanted to change it. He came to take on himself all our sins, everyone's, the whole world's. And he took away the pain and death and suffering. Now, some of you might be saying, well, there's still a lot of pain, death, and suffering around here, but not for eternity. There is. God has taken that away for us, gotten rid of that. You know, sometimes you do things and they carry long shadows with them. I've known people who have done some things, and even though they repented of them, even though they were forgiven of them, the consequences of what they did stayed with them and never left them. But what we see is that sin and death and all of that, the result of all of that is a world in confusing, just very confused, living in the wrong way. You know, God came to intervene. He wanted to take on himself what we couldn't take on. And he restored humanity to the rightful place as an adopted child in the family of God, adopted children in God's family. Did you realize that is your rightful place? That's what God created us for in the first place, was to be adopted into the very family of God. That's why he created us. That's why he made us. And I think that's important to think about that, because sin took us completely down a different path, totally away from God, totally away from what God wanted for us from the first place. And yet God's love was so strong for us that he didn't want that to be our end result. Jesus, who was both God and man, came to the earth. The Son of God came to the earth, became one of us, became both God and man, two natures in one person, only one person, but just two natures, God and man. And he came to take our sins upon himself. It was necessary that one was going to have to suffer so that everybody else would not have to suffer, so that all the rest of us could live. One died that the rest could live. And I think that's an important thing. Now, I just read something on Facebook the other day about a college professor who was required to teach an introductory biblical studies class to everybody in the college, even if they didn't major in the Bible or theology. Most of the kids there didn't think anything about religion, didn't want to be there. They just had to take it. And he tried to preach the gospel to them, and most of them weren't paying any attention to it. So on one day he came in, he bought in a whole box full of donuts, and he'd worked out with a young man that was everybody liked, and he was the captain of the football team. He was very strong. He was very athletic. And so he worked a deal with him. And he asked the first person, he says, would you like a donut? And I said, well, yeah. And so he turned to that guy and said, would you be willing to do 10 push-ups so that she could have a donut? Sure, he said. He just plopped out 10 push-ups really quickly. And then the next person, there were 30 people in the class. The next person, a donut. And after about five or six, people started saying, no, I don't want a donut. And he turned back to the guy, says, would you do 10 push-ups for her to have a donut, even if she doesn't want to take it? And he did. Well, a few other people heard what was going on and came in and stood around the room. And the professor hoped that he hadn't put too much on this guy, but he went to every single person in the room. And by that time, nobody wanted to eat the donut, but he made them take it anyway. And so he talked about what Jesus did for all the rest of us. And he said, guys, it'd be terrible to, after Jesus, all that he suffered and did, that you just leave it laying on your desk and you wouldn't take it. And he said, that's kind of what Christianity is about. Jesus did something for you. He came to take our sins upon himself. It was a necessary thing. And the crucifixion had to happen or we would have no hope. He died for us that we don't have to die for eternity. It was something we couldn't get out of. We were trapped in a box with no way out except Jesus. And he opened that box and just threw it away to get us in. You know, the crucifixion was an opportunity for God to do for us what we could not do, but also for God to learn something. I don't know if we've thought about that or not, but let's go back to the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews chapter 4. So you know, after we had all those scripture readings, I'm not going to go to any of them for the sermon. So we'll go here to Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 14 near the end of the chapter. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. And he says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So he said, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. I think the King James says, with boldness, we can come to the throne of grace. Because Jesus is able to empathize with us because he's been tempted just like we are. If we go to Hebrews 5, the very next chapter, we have a high priest who's been tempted like we've been tempted, only he didn't yield to that temptation. He resisted it. He looked to the Father for the strength to get him through whatever temptation was there. You know, as God and his Spirit, God couldn't be tempted or moved. He was, I think people describe God as being immutable, will not be moved from where he was at. But as a human, it was kind of a different story. But he says he overcame his human nature, the evil one that was there trying to trick him, sin itself, the world that's around us that tries to lead us astray. He overcame all of those things, and he did not sin at all. And chapter 5, I'm going to back up a little. Verse 5, it says, in the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, you are my son, today I have become your father. And he says in another place, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he'd offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. He said, God heard Jesus crying out for help because he was heard because of his, as he said, he's so much submission to God. And he says, verse 8, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And I think that's an interesting point. Jesus, as a human being, as well as God, two natures in that one person, was able to learn. He learned what suffering for sin and evil was all about. You know, he suffered for all of mankind to take away all of our sins. You know, God better understood the weakness of the flesh because he became flesh. He better understood the pull of our own human nature because he had that human nature. And he bent that human nature to the will of the Father. It would not let it go any other direction. And he understood physical pain more. It was more real after going through it. The suffering, the consequences of sin, not his, but ours, that he took upon himself. He understands those things. He learned obedience. He learned how to obey, even though it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't fun. It wasn't what anybody would want to do because it was a horrible thing. Yet he learned from that what it's like for us. And he is our high priest. And it says he was tempted just like we are, yet without sin. But he knows what the temptations are. He understands the consequences of sin, such as being betrayed, being flogged, being humiliated, the pain, the suffering, the death that came upon him, being belittled, put down, all of the things that happened to him. He knows just what it means to be human. You know, Jesus as God understood these things. After all, he created us, he made us, he understood us better than we understand ourselves. But Jesus as the man experienced them. God knew them. Jesus experienced them. He knows them firsthand. He knows the pulls of the flesh. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to hurt, to suffer, to go through pain, to go through rejection, and to feel loss. He understands all of those things. There's no place that we can go where Jesus hasn't been there already. And when you look at our problems that we have, sometimes they seem hopeless, they seem overwhelming, no matter whether it's financial, whether it's relationship problems, whether it's health problems, whether it's, you name it, whatever kind of problems that we can have, sometimes they just seem totally overwhelming. There's nothing we can do about them. But we know that we have a high priest who has experienced everything that we do and that he knows exactly what you're going through. He is human just like us, but he's also God so that he can move mountains. And he moved the biggest mountain of all, that great weight of sin that just held us down. And he can move mountains in your life for the trials and the things you go to. He says we should come boldly before him because of what Jesus was willing to do for us. The death on the cross, what he did. He was human like us, but he was also God. Nothing overwhelms him. Nothing is impossible for him. And that's important to think about. Let's go to Hebrews 5, verse 8 here again. It says, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And he just shows here that Melchizedek was not a Levite, was going through the Levitical system under Moses and all of that, and neither was Jesus. Jesus is not a Levite. He doesn't go under the old covenant and that whole system. He has become our high priest through what God did for him, through what he went through for us. That death, that burial, that all of that takes away our sins. Takes away, you know, Jesus, think about it. Right now, Jesus' body isn't like ours anymore. His mortality is put on immortality. He's been glorified, changed, lifted up. He's the first fruits of God's harvest of all of humanity, of God's salvation of all of humanity. For men and for women, we will one day be changed and be like him. The difference, of course, is that he's still God and man, but we're only human. But it's just to think about what God has done for us, that he willingly came and died, that whole burden of sin, that whole burden of the consequences of sin, which ultimately he said was death, but the down payment on that was misery and suffering and frustration and pain, all of those things. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for us, that we might have life. He triumphed over death and evil and sin. He gave his life for us. He gave his life that we might have eternal life with him for eternity. You know, it says when we take communion that his body was broken for us. And he said he was the bread of life, and that he, if we eat that bread, we would live forever. And he says, by his stripes and the things that happened to that body, we can be healed. And that's a spiritual healing. There's physical involved with that, but that's not all it's talking about. The most important thing it's talking about is the spiritual healings of our soul, of taking that burden of sin and removing it. And then he talks about his blood being poured out, that is the new covenant. That is a whole new way. Not the old covenant that's letter of the law, but a new covenant that's life in his blood, him doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. He gave his life that we might have eternal life with him forever. That's what he did for us. This is a day of victory. It's a day of hope. Victory over the chains of sin that bound us to death and suffering. Through his blood, we have a covenant based on his love, on his, his very life based on him. We have healing. We have life because of God's body being broken and his blood being poured out. We have hope that this way of this world will not last forever because Jesus has changed it. Jesus has overcome it. Jesus has destroyed the power of the evil one. He's still out there and he's still working in this world and deceiving people. But his power of death that his sin-induced way of living brings is broken. It's gone. It's dead. The power of sin is broken. And that all came through Jesus on that cross a couple of thousand years ago or so, as he died for each and every one of us. It is a hope of glory ahead. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for everything. Thank you for giving us your love, that you are willing to send your son. And Jesus, you are willing to endure the cross, to give up the glory of heaven for the physical earth, and to endure the cross for us. And so, Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for everything. We glorify your holy name. And we thank you that we have such great hope that our sins are gone. And that when we take that communion, we're talking about a whole new covenant and a whole new way that comes through you and not through us. And so, Lord Jesus, we bow, we thank you, and we glorify you. And we worship you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.